From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this funky Friday. That's right, it is a new month. It is April 1st, 2016, and boy, oh boy, do we have a fun-filled hour in store for all of you, all the way up until 2 p.m. Call in to be a part of today's airwaves, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-WKAR. We will be talking about headline news surrounding the Michigan men's basketball program that has everyone talking. Yeah, Spike Albrick and Ricky Doyle, two players that you can say are now formerly of the Michigan Wolverines hoop squad. They have decided to transfer, but a rule in place actually stymied the two transferring within the Big Ten Conference. All right, now there is a new update concerning that story. You'll get to hear that in just a second. We'll dive into that. Also, the Detroit Pistons take on the Dallas Mavericks tonight. How is the playoff pitcher looking for the Pistons? We broke down the Wings playoff pitcher yesterday with our own Jason Ruff, and we will do the same with the red, white, and royal blue today. And we will also invite, as we are now on the eve of the Final Four games, yes, it's going to be fun, folks. Villanova, Oklahoma, North Carolina, and Syracuse. In preparation for the Final Four, we will talk to DeShaun Tate, columnist, reporter, and producer for CBS Radio 92.9 The Game down in the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. DeShaun is currently in Houston covering the Final Four. He will give us a preview of those games and so much more. And, of course, we will put a bow on today's show with Reflection Friday. That and more. But, hey, you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this April 1st. All right, ladies and gents, boys and girls, the wait is finally over. Josh Jackson, the nation's number one high school basketball player, announced that he has, quote, decided to take his talents to East Lansing. Now, the shooting guard originally from the D, Detroit, announced his decision to the nation last night on an ESPN studio show hosted by the one, the only, Jim Gray, because that's how you do it. The commitment gives the Spartans a unanimous number one overall recruiting class across all recruiting websites. Josh Jackson, now a Spartan. How about that? All right, get this, folks. The Mid-Michigan high schools have decided to adopt a shot clock on the hardwood. Now, the Michigan High School Athletic Association announced yesterday that all boys and girls Mid-Michigan teams will adopt a shot clock for next season's play. Now, the new 20-second shot clock rule will be implemented to drastically increase the pace of play. That should be fun, all right? 50-year-old Tampa Bay Lightning general manager, get this, Steve Yzerman, he announced last night that he is actually going to leave the front office to join the Detroit Red Wings playoff push. Yzerman is expected to join the Wings immediately for tonight's game against the Minnesota Wild. He was seen at this morning's skate around during skating with the first line between Dylan Larkin and Henrik Zetterberg. Now, former Detroit Red Wings great Nicholas Lidstrom is reportedly, quote, on the fence about joining the team for the last few games of the regular season as well. So hopefully Nicholas Lidstrom can also hit the ice to help the Wings out because they are currently in a playoff push. All right, Kevin Durant, folks, he has apologized, all right, for saying that he, quote, doesn't care about Detroit, end quote, after the Thunder lost to the Pistons on Wednesday night. Now, in an interview with reporters last night, Durant said this, quote, I would like to apologize for my comments last night. I actually love Detroit. My favorite food is the Coney Dog, and my iTunes library is a 50-50 mix of Eminem and Kid Rock, end quote. He loves Detroit, folks. All right, sources close to the situation say that KD decided to release the apology because he realized he has the potential for signing a massive contract with the Pistons in the offseason. So that's his reasoning behind that. All right. In a shocking turn of events, pop star Iggy Azalea has left her fiancé Nick Young. Of course, the controversy surrounding Nick Young and D'Angelo Russell. Russell recorded Nick Young saying that, yeah, he's, you know, dated other women and actually cheated on his fiance Iggy Azalea. Well, Iggy has left Nick and is now dating D'Angelo Russell. How about that? According to reports, his Lakers teammates are now refusing to sit within a 2-table radius of him at team meals. Man, that's a sticky situation. All right. In a shocking turn of events, Calvin Megatron Johnson has decided to pull a Brett Favre and return to the Detroit Lions next season. In a statement released this morning, Johnson stated, quote, "My 3 weeks of retirement have given me enough time to recharge. I'm actually willing to do whatever it takes this year to come back and help the Lions organization win their first Super Bowl," end quote. The decision put the Lions in a salary cap bind, and his $24 million contract pushed the team $15 million over the league's current cap. So somebody has to be cut, all right, folks? And last but not least, the University of Michigan was voted best all-around school in the nation yesterday afternoon. How about that? Now, the vote took in account academics, athletics, social scene, and overall campus beauty into account. Michigan State University checked in, and get this, just look at the disrespect here, number 379 in the nation, one spot below, get this, Middle Tennessee State. Are you kidding me? That's just a slap in the face, Spartan fans. All right, folks, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners, and as expected, folks, I have a confession. None of those headliners are true. April Fools, ladies and gents, happy April 1st. Don't be a victim of pranks today, all right? You knew it was coming. You know we had to do it here on the show. Without further ado, how about we get to business?
John Beilein, to the University of Michigan, and to the Big Ten Conference, shame on you. That is an outrage. It is a disgrace. And I'm telling you right now, I'm going to mention it every day until you change this policy. I'm going to mention every single day that Spike Albrecht should be allowed to go play at Purdue, at Iowa, at Illinois, at Michigan State, at Northwestern, anywhere else he wants, if they want him. They don't have a spot for him at Michigan, and he graduated. There is no excuse for this. This is an outrage, and everyone involved should be ashamed of themselves.
All right, folks, ladies and gents, boys and girls, you are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, TGIF. That's right, happy Friday. You have made it. Long week, busy week here on WKAR's Current Sports. But the weekend is upon us, and hopefully I didn't freak too many of you guys out with that that show intro during our Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. We do this just about every year, all right, folks, where we make up a few headliners for you. And those who don't realize that the calendar reads April 1st. Yes, it is April Fool's Day. So I want to give a huge shout out. He did a great job putting those headliners together for us on today's show. Mr. Connor Ryan, our fantastic PA here at WKAR's Current Sports. And he actually, and get this, Isaac, and this is right up his alley and I had no idea, but Connor actually writes for the Black Sheep here on Michigan State's campus, which is a satirical newspaper which makes up stuff left and right. So this was right up Connor's alley, all right?
Oh, yeah. Connor was telling me right now that, you know, he saw the headliners, which the instructions at the top say, April Fool's Edition, have some fun with these. These are our fake headliners. Write 2 to 3 graphs using your imagination, blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, he said he saw that and he just rubbed his hands together. Let's get going. Let's get cooking. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I gotta ask, what was your favorite one out of those seven?
Oh, my favorite? You know, I'm going to actually say the very last one. I like my favorite headline itself, was Iggy Azalea now dating D'Angelo Russell. That's fantastic. Because that has crossed my mind, too. I thought about saying that.
Like,
as a
maybe
joke
he was trying to
show.
Steal Nick's girl, right?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. You know, Iggy tweeted at D'Angelo as well, saying, "Thanks, bro. I enjoyed your video." Which I thought was
that.
Funny.
Oh, but boy.
Anyway, my favorite headliner itself was probably the U of M pulled as best all-around school, which is fantastic because Michigan State finishes one before Middle Tennessee State, or one after even.
One after, right, and exactly.
I just love the number 379. I don't know why. That was a fantastic imagination of just that number. It made it sound so legit. I love that one.
A big round of applause for Mr. Connor Ryan. He did a great job this morning. So thank you, Connor. You'll get a chance to hear Connor's voice later on in the show. He will be joining us here in the studio to reflect a bit on this Reflection Friday as well. So it is April Fool's, Isaac. I got to know, do you like this quote-unquote holiday? Do you prank some of your homies at all?
Yeah,
you do.
I always do.
Have you done any yet? I'm curious. Do you have some in mind?
Not yet today, actually. The lying well has been running a little bit dry for me this year. But last year, you know, I've got a very generous offer and scholarship from MSU and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I tell my mom that it actually got pulled off the table. That
really?
She'd be paying for all 4 years of college.
You did that to her?
Oh, yeah.
And oh, my goodness. What happened?
That was a
Did
good
she
one.
Freak out?
Yeah, she freaked out. I mean, she was, now, she was, you know my mom. My mom's right. The nicest, most sympathetic lady possible. She's like, "Sweetie, it's all right, blah, blah, blah." But you could tell that she was also bouncing around a little bit. I got her. I did get her.
That's good. That's a really good one. I don't know. My mom may have a heart attack if I did
well,
that
that's
back
the thing.
In college.
It's a little bit too mean for me to replicate that anyway.
Right. Exactly. You got to keep it fun, but you don't want anybody in tears. All right.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Be safe out there, folks, and watch your back. It is April Fool's. Folks, our phone lines are open. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. You can also go to facebook.com/currentsports and weigh in on anything that we are talking about here on today's show. Also, even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. And if you don't want to tweet me, hey, at least follow me. All right. And we, of course, also have our Current Sports live stream taking place right now. Friends of mine on Facebook. Again, just add me on Facebook at Al Martin. If you add me, you get to see a visual of what is happening behind your speakers, all right? So don't just listen. You can also watch by tuning into the live stream. Just at me, Al Martin on Facebook.com. All right, what you just heard during that beginning opening montage for our show today was the voice of actually Mike Greenberg, who is the co-host of Mike and Mike, the ESPN nationally syndicated radio show that airs each and every morning. I am always been a fan of Mike and Mike. I think they do outstanding work. And you heard Mike Greenberg actually weighing in on a situation that occurred out in Ann Arbor this week, and that had a lot of people just rubbed everyone the wrong way, all right, and myself included here. And there has been an update on this story, and the Wolverines have softened the blow. The Big Ten have softened their stance on this discussion, but it was reported that Michigan and the Big Ten would not allow Spike Albrick to play his final year of college basketball at a Big Ten school. And again, Mike Greenberg was furious about it. You heard his comments just a minute ago. Now, Albrick does have 1 year of eligibility remaining as a graduate transfer, and U of M has told him and his family for months that there likely would be no room for him on the Wolverines roster next year. But according to Big Ten rules, transfers within the conference have to sit 1 year and lose a year of eligibility, regardless of whether they are undergrads or graduates. So if Spike wanted to transfer, let's say, to a Michigan State, a Northwestern, any team within the Big Ten conference, he couldn't, ideally, because he has 1 year of eligibility remaining. And he would have lost that year of eligibility if he was to transfer to a Big Ten school, because he would have to sit out and lose a year of eligibility, which makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Now, John Beilein, he was pretty firm on this, and he had maintained his stance, saying that, quote, Albrick still has plenty of other options out there. And Albrecht's family said they understood and were grateful for the opportunity at U of M. But that rubbed a lot of people wrong, folks, because, again, we're talking about a young man who certainly has an affinity for the Big Ten, or else he wouldn't have played basketball at U of M in the first place. But this is a young man who may have a golden opportunity at another school within the Big Ten Conference, but because of a stupid rule in the NCAA and the Big Ten included, have a ton of just idiotic rules in place. Because of that rule, he wouldn't be able to do so. Now, after Greenberg's speech, and there was a lot of uproar from plenty of other people via social media and other media outlets out there, Michigan came out and said, you know what? We're going to allow Spike to transfer wherever he wants to, okay? If he wants to transfer to a school within the Big Ten, we will respect that. No quarrels, no qualms. He can do whatever he wants. So I just don't believe this wouldn't have happened if there wasn't a media firestorm after this story came out. This wouldn't have happened if there was an uproar from national pundits like a Mike Greenberg voicing his thoughts on it and his displeasure about it. The only reason it is happening is because of the public going up in outrage about it. And guys, this is just another example of just rules that make you say, huh? Within yep. the NCAA. I just don't understand that. I don't understand the rule, not one bit. Maybe from a competitive standpoint, I get it because, okay, maybe, you know, if you have a kid who is a great player for your program, like Spike Albrecht was, you don't want to see him on the other side during competition next year. But still, at the end of the day, you're talking about kids who bring in a ton of money to your university to play athletics. Just an idiotic rule here, Isaac.
I agree. It's an 100% nonsensical rule by the NCAA. But you know what? I don't blame Michigan for wanting to enforce this. This is just another example of them being crafty, conniving, and those aren't bad terms. They might have bad connotations, but they are doing anything they can to get an advantage in conference play, wherever it may be. And there's nothing wrong with that. John Beilein, Jim Harbaugh, both of these guys are trying to capitalize on the leniency of NCAA rules for things like this, and I can't really blame them. Now, I think it's a stupid rule, and I think it's unfair to a kid who's given so much to your program, so much heart. I remember Spike Albrecht from before when I was at school here, because the thing about Spike is he always played so hard with so much effort. He played like the U of M was tattooed onto his chest instead of it being a jersey. So I love Spike Albrecht, and I'd love to see him have a great career wherever he goes next, no matter where that is. At the same time, though, just as a program, having a general set of rules like this, I can't necessarily blame U of M for enforcing them, although they did let up this time. But I more blame the NCAA for even allowing these types of situations to occur.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I also want to throw out Ricky Doyle is also a part of this because Ricky is a name that, you know, has been thrown out there and announced that he will be also transferring from U of M and wants to play elsewhere as well. But, again, at the same time, and, you know, I look at the NCAA and I look at, you know, the conferences within the umbrella that is the NCAA and look at a situation like this where you have a kid who has given so much to your program. But yet, due to selfish reasons, and that's the word that really comes to mind when I think about this, Isaac. And I must say this. I've always been, and I still am, a big John Beilein fan. I love John Beilein. He carries himself with class. He's one heck of a basketball coach. He knows his stuff. He seems to genuinely care for the kids who cross his program. But I just think that coaches get so caught up with the pressure of the job, the pressure specifically, that is winning. You have to win to keep your job at any level in sports. Simple as that. You get so caught up sometimes with that pressure that you forget at times why you do this. And a big component as to why coaches coach is because they love the kids and the players to whom they coach. Simple as that. And I'm not questioning whether John Beilein does have an affinity for the players that he coaches because he clearly has shown that time and time again. I just thought that when it comes to this situation with a Spike Albrecht. He looked at the rules and said, okay, the NCAA and the Big Ten Conference is saying that, all right, Spike Albrecht played for my program. He wants to transfer. The Big Ten has a rule in place where if he transfers within the conference, then he would have to sit out a year and lose a year of eligibility. He would lose his only year of eligibility. Well, then Spike needs to abide by those rules. I think he got so caught up with the literature and the rule itself that he didn't take a chance to just sit back and say, you know what? Okay, this isn't right. You know what I mean? This is a kid who's given so much to our program. This kid should be able to, you know, should have the option to do what's best for him. So if that is at another school within the Big Ten Conference, I want to look out for him. The kid comes first. And I think that John Beilein regretted that initial comment saying, no, he can't transfer to another Big Ten school instead of just sitting back and saying, okay, Spike needs to do what's best for Spike. This is a rule that isn't right. And I think once hearing the backlash, after hearing that uproar, he took a step back and said, you know what? I was wrong. We need to reevaluate this.
Well, and the other thing that really comes to mind when I think about this predicament for Michigan is the role of precedent. Mm-hmm. In that Max Biefeldt tweeted out earlier today, you're welcome, Spike. Because he, of course, was a graduate transfer who went to Indiana. And that made all the difference. Because if Biefeldt hadn't left earlier, we might not have seen this rule broken. There are plenty of upheld rules that still stand, even if they're largely unpopular, just because people can say, listen, that's just the way it's done. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it's done. That argument holds up so well under any context. But because of Biefeldt and because of other players who might have been able to circumvent this rule, that argument doesn't necessarily hold up anymore. And if there's any player deserving, and yes, we should talk about Doyle as well, Ricky Doyle.
Of course.
But Spike Albrecht is the guy. Everybody knows Spike Albrecht. He's the guy who this rule was once again broken for because of how much he gave to Michigan and because of the respect nationally and within the state that he deserves.
Exactly. I totally agree with you. Folks, weigh in on this. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Very interested to see where Spike will take his basketball talent. And again, he's just, looking at Spike and his tenure at Michigan, man, he really turned into a very good player for that program, a very important player for John Beilein's program. But again, due to that, the hip surgery that he had and trying to rehab from that surgery, he was never able to just get back on the basketball court and do his thing. But I'm rooting for Spike. I'm wishing him the best, as well as Ricky Doyle. They both were fantastic players, and really excited to see where their basketball careers end up. Also, want to note this. I meant to bring this up on yesterday's show, but didn't have time to. But there have been hardcore numbers that have come out when discussing how much college basketball coaches are getting paid. And, I'm reading right from the Lansing State Journal here. Michigan State's Tom Izzo is the highest paid men's basketball coach in the Big Ten, number 5 nationally. Now, this is according to USA Today, a study that they did on salaries. And this is coming directly from a database where they researched this information. Now, Izzo is currently making $4,150,359 in total pay this year, according to the report. Now, that breaks down to $3,525,359 from the school and $625,000 in other pay. Now, Izzo also has a maximum bonus of $350,000. To look at the grand scheme of things and look at other coaches, Duke's Coach K, Mike Krzyzewski, he tops the list at, get this, $7.3 million, followed by Kentucky's John Calipari at $6.9 million, Arizona's Sean Miller at $4.945 million, and Kansas's Bill Self at $4.943 million. Now, number 2 behind Izzo in the Big Ten is Indiana's Tom Crean, a former MSU assistant, of course. They used to work with each other. His total pay is $3.152 million. Doesn't it just blow your mind, Isaac, when you think about how much money college football coaches make, college basketball coaches make, how much the sport itself makes as far as the overall NCAA product. And I used to be that guy to sit back and say, you know what? They're already getting their books and tuition paid for. They're already getting food paid for. They're not, you know, I was speaking from a perspective that I was once a student at Michigan State. You are currently a student at Michigan State, Isaac. I was speaking more so from the perspective of having to pay for books, having to come out of pocket, having to apply for student loans and apply for grants and scholarships and so on and so forth. So I took it really personal whenever this conversation would come up about college athletes getting paid. But now that I've graduated, and I'm still paying Sallie Mae back, all right? Still paying Sallie Mae back and paying back student loans. But I just look at the amount of money that's thrown around in college athletics. And again, this is a conversation we've constantly had here on the show. And I've gotten to really, as a reporter, look at the schedule. Because we've had, about three current sports PAs and interns that have come through our program that play for the Michigan State football team, that have a hand in the Michigan State basketball team as well. And I've gotten a chance to get to know them and to really look at their respective schedules. And I tell you what, Isaac, I've sat there sometimes just shook my head and said, oh my gosh, is there any time to study here? You know what I mean? And I've become sympathetic to the student athlete who says that, you know what, we do need some compensation here, all right? And you look at the amount of money being thrown around here. Again, Coach K, $7.3 million. Tom Izzo, you know what I mean? You know, $4 million. And you look at that and say, none of that goes into the pockets of a student athlete who played for your program?
Yeah.
It just blows my mind. What is your reaction when you hear about those hardcore numbers?
Well, several things. First off, I remember seeing an infographic on Deadspin maybe 2 years ago or something like that. And it was, who is the highest paid state employee of your state?
Mm-hmm.
40 of the 50 states have their highest paid, highest compensated state employee as a football or a basketball coach. Those are mind-numbing figures.
That's crazy.
When you think that there are so many different roles in society. Listen, we love sports. We're on a sports talk radio show. But at the same time, there's no room there for a governor or some important surgeon or something.
Teachers, so, yeah, firefighters, teachers. Police officers. You
so
know?
It's really odd. And then you see the states that don't have their highest employee as the coach, and that school's, or I guess states like Maine, North Dakota, South Dakota, mm-hmm. any school where you don't necessarily be like, all right, I want to go there for athletics.
Right.
So anyway, though, I think that the whole thing's been blown out of proportion without a doubt. I think when you look at the actual figures that relate to how much these schools pull in because of their athletic programs, they pull in $100 million-plus each
right.
for any Big Ten university just about on one sport alone, which is football. Basketball also reels in the numbers. And then hockey usually, too, is a profit maker. So you look at all of those, and none of that money goes to the student-athletes. None of it goes towards really – well, some does go to student facilities, but a lot of it is just cycled back into the programs, and you see this escalation – almost a firefight in terms of how much coaches want to get paid.
Right,
unfortunately,
right.
Tom Izzo isn't as much of a part of that as he could be. You mentioned the top two figures, Coach K at $7.3 million, and then John Calipari at $6.9 million. Tom Izzo, even with a ridiculous $4.5 million salary, is way behind those guys. So just money is recycled.
You're talking about millions, yeah.
Exactly.
Right, exactly. It's rather comical when you really look at it.
And
you just say there, hey, but hey, if you are a coach out there doing your thing and you're getting paid that amount of money, I mean, the product allows for it because so many people are college football fans. So many people are college basketball fans. You look at March Madness is getting bigger and better each and every year. You look at the TV contracts. It's really mind-blowing. So you understand where that money is coming from, but you don't understand why none of it really trickles down to the student athlete. Again, it goes back to the old conversation that we've had for years here on the show. Should college athletes be paid? And everybody has an opinion on that. All right, folks, you can still call in. Again, 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will be chatting with Deshaun Tate, columnist, reporter, and producer for CBS Radio 92.9 The Game in the ATL. That's right, Atlanta, Georgia. Deshaun is covering the Final Four. How cool is that? Down in Houston, Texas. He knows his college hoops, folks. You don't want to miss that and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I tell you what, Isaac, you know I am the biggest Piston fan in the world. I will be checking out my boys as they play the Dallas Mavericks tonight at 7:30 p.m. I've never seen Dirk Nowitzki play in person. This will be my first time. Pretty excited about it.
That's awesome. Good. Yeah, you'll be in for a treat because Dirk is my favorite all-time player.
He is.
Grew up a Dirk fan. Actually was at the game too because they played the Hornets at the time when Dirk scored his 25,000th point.
Wow.
Joining only 19, I think actually becoming the 19th player in history to accomplish that feat. So
impressive.
Love Dirk.
Yeah, that's Dirk, man. Dirk is one of the greatest players to ever ball out.
He
is. And you know, you can look at his game and you know, you can directly look at Larry Bird. He's always compared to Larry Bird because their games were really, really similar, not freakishly athletic, but their jump shots were just so polished. Their fundamentals were so polished. Man, I'm looking forward to seeing him play. And I think I saw a report. Now, Dirk, this is his 19th year in the league.
Correct.
And he said the 20 would sound even better. So I'm assuming that he'll stay around for at least one more year to get number 20.
Well, the thing is, too, we'll never know about Dirk because right. Dirk promised that he didn't necessarily want a retirement tour. How Kobe announced the season before.
Exactly.
Listen, next year I'm done. Bring me some treats, some chocolates, throw flowers at my feet. And not to disparage Kobe. I love Kobe.
Right.
But Dirk, he's a little more humble than that. He doesn't necessarily want that. He just wants to play the game as long as he's good, and he's still really good.
But not to say that Kobe isn't humble.
No,
I mean, well, look at Derek
Jeter.
Kobe's
not really humble.
Well, I think Kobe has become humble. I mean, when you play for the Lakers organization, the way this team has looked the past, what, 4 or 5 years?
Well, that's true.
Oh, that certainly has humbled him.
Yeah.
Okay, so, Kobe's not the guy you see talking trash anymore. He's not like what he used to be, okay?
No, he's not.
Certainly softened.
He's no down.
But, yeah, and you don't look at Derek Jeter. I think it's cool, and I think, in a way, and again, everybody has their different opinion on this, but I think in a way, when you know, knowing how beloved Kobe has been throughout most of his NBA career, he's played the villain as well, but throughout most of his career, everyone has loved what Kobe Bryant has brought to the game. Even the Kobe haters respect what he's brought to the game.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that when you do announce your retirement before you embark on that respective season, you are also paying back to the fans what they paid to you throughout their career. You know,
and that's true.
It allows fans to go out there to buy the tickets to see you one last time and to pay their respects to you. And I think at times, you saw Derek Jeter do the same thing. I mean, at times, it's a bit awkward because Derek Jeter, you talk about humble, that man would epitomize that. I mean, he
definition
was...
Definition of,
you
yeah.
know, exactly. And it is a bit awkward when you go out there and you have all these fans throwing roses at your feet, so to speak. But at the same time, it is a treat for them to at least get that opportunity to see you for one time.
It
so
is.
It's a double-edged sword there.
Yeah, I have a friend that went to the last Pelicans versus Lakers game,
mm-hmm.
and he was wearing a Pelicans hat and a Kobe jersey.
Exactly.
And
right.
that's just what that brings up, because there's nothing wrong with that. Let the fans pay you a farewell if they think that you've done so much for them. Because I know for Dirk's last game that I was able to witness, I would want to attend that one, too. So it's a similar situation. I can't really blame him for it, but I also like Dirk's take. It is very modest, very humble.
I dig it. All right, folks, phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. Let's talk college basketball right now, all right? Tomorrow, big day, Final Four. Ladies and gents, boys and girls, cannot wait for both of these games. Villanova taking on Oklahoma. Then you got North Carolina playing Syracuse out in Houston, Texas. Of course, the national championship game will take place on Monday. And right now, we have a man who has been soaking up the atmosphere down in Houston, Texas. He is a men's college basketball columnist, reporter, and producer for CBS Radio down in the ATL out in Atlanta, Georgia. Mr. Deshaun Tate, thanks so much for your time this afternoon. How you doing?
I'm doing awesome, Al. Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate you.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. I told you we're going to make this a weekly thing as you break down the respective games that have been taking place throughout the entire month of March and now bleeding, of course, that into April. Now, Deshaun, I want to start with the Orange and, of course, taking on the Tar Heels. It's going to be a fun game between Syracuse and North Carolina, I think. And, you know, what's so interesting about this matchup, Deshaun, is that there have previously been just three other double-digit seeds to reach the Final Four. Now, the Orange are actually the first 10 seed to do so. And get this, the previous three did not make it to the national championship game. What do you make of Syracuse and its chances against the North Carolina Blue?
Well, I think Syracuse definitely has a good team. They've been kind of, probably feel like they've been disrespected quite a bit. So I know that, you know, as far as their mentality, it's almost as if they're playing with house money. And I think that that plays benefits into their hands going into the game tomorrow against a Carolina team who desperately needs this win as well, not just getting to the Final Four, but kind of under the microscope themselves, as all the teams have been that are in the Final Four over the course of the season, in addition to probably the last maybe, let's say, 6 or 7 years since we last saw North Carolina in the Final Four, them and Villanova both. So as far as Syracuse goes, you know, I think that it's just more of a matter of not affording to be able to get off to slow starts as they did, like against Virginia. And, of course, that's kind of understandable because of the defense that Virginia plays, you know, one of the top defenses in the country. But when you're talking about a team like Syracuse, think about it. Think about how they start or even how they finish. As a matter of fact, how they finish, all their starters shot 3 for 13 from 3, including Trevor Cooney, went 0 for 2 from 3 against that Virginia team. And they were still, even though their back was up against the wall, they were still able to come out with a win there. But I like to think that their actors are definitely Malachi Richardson, who scored 21 of his 23 points in the second half. And, of course, Tyler Robinson, but DeJuan Coleman. I don't know if you remember that name or not, Al, but DeJuan Coleman, being that guy who was a top-ranked player coming out of high school, a McDonald's All-American, and unfortunately, due to some injuries, his career hasn't really panned out to be what they needed him to be. But by all means, that just kind of goes to show how strong Syracuse is, being able to get this far without his production.
Now, Deshaun, again, as I mentioned, there have only been four double-digit seeds that have made it to this platform in March Madness. How in the heck has Syracuse been able to do that?
Well, it all starts with what they've always hung their hat on, not just this year, not in just the last couple of years, but as we know, Syracuse, the beast, since Jim Boeheim took over the team over, what, close to probably 40, 50 years ago before either one of us was thought of, and that's defense. That's that 2-3 zone and the kind of problems that they present against other teams, because this isn't just any old team's, you know, 2-3 zone defense. We're talking about how they recruit. They only recruit those guys that are long, athletic, able to take up a lot of space. But in order for North Carolina to come away with this victory, and this plays into the better hands, if you will, for Syracuse, because in order for North Carolina to come along with this victory, making sure that a 10 seed not only doesn't just get to the Final Four but move on to the national championship game, is they're going to have to shoot Syracuse out of that zone, move the ball around on the perimeter, make that defense and that zone work. And they don't have necessarily the best three-point shooters. If you look at North Carolina team, they're transition, they're up and down, they're run and gun, but they don't really have those three-point shooters. So from that standpoint, it kind of plays into the better hands of Syracuse, and that's how they've been able to do it, started with their defense.
Yeah, of course, that Syracuse zone and that press is duly noted without a doubt. And actually, Deshaun, the two squared off twice this season already, which resulted in North Carolina winning both times. There's an old adage in the world of basketball, Deshaun, that it's so tough to beat a team three times in one season. How much do you think that saying rings true tomorrow?
I think that if anybody can pull off such a feat, North Carolina can do it. And the best teams do, and it's not only always the best teams Think about it. I saw it happen actually the year Michigan State won the national championship in 2000. They played Wisconsin, I think, four times, twice in the regular season, once in the conference tournament, and then in the Final Four. I saw it earlier this year when I was doing some reporting out there in Georgia, where University of Georgia ended up beating South Carolina three times. So it's capable of happening, but in the same token, you know, that South Carolina team or Wisconsin team from 2000, those teams aren't this year's Syracuse team, and they don't necessarily have the defense that Syracuse, you know, that they put into this, that they implement into their system. Now, I know that Wisconsin is usually always a really good defensive team, but at the end of the day, it's still not Syracuse. Syracuse really good, known for their offense, but even more so for their defense, and Carolina's going to have to find a way to come up out of that.
Yeah, it's going to be a really fun game. Again, folks, if you are just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with DeShawn Tate, men's college basketball columnist, reporter, and producer for CBS Radio 92.9 The Game out in Atlanta, Georgia. All right, let's talk Nova in Oklahoma, DeShawn. The easiest question I'll ask you our interview: how do you slow down Buddy Hield?
Well, I'm going to tell you what, Al, that seems to be the elephant in the room, which is obvious, but you've got to be able to throw multiple different guys on them, and preferably some guys that are long, some long wings and guys of that nature, even some guys with some bulk and stuff like that. But in the same token, one thing that I'm looking at is you have to be able to throw, you know, multiple guys, not just long guys, but you have to throw multiple guys. And when you're talking about a Villanova team, we're talking about a Villanova team who is deep with their guards. Maybe don't have as much up front, but I think that that's exactly what you want for a game like tomorrow, where Villanova is just guard loaded. And just try and run Buddy Hield off of some screens, run him off the three-point line, you know, try and make sure that you have someone to kind of fill that void, flash from time to time in case some screens are set for him. But, of course, Buddy Hield being one of the better basketball players, top two, top three for sure in the country, the most dangerous thing about him is that he can also create his own shot. We're not talking about a Kyle Korver at Creighton, or we're not talking about, you know, a guy like J.J. Redick at Duke. We're talking about somebody who can create their own shot, not necessarily need other guys as far as his teammates to help him out.
Now, we're winding the clock, DeShawn, back to December 7th. Oklahoma did defeat Villanova 78-55, an Oogle win over Villanova. Really shocking, just a complete blowout. Now, they also had a 41-33 edge on the boards. How telling was that win when breaking down that game? Because I know around this time of the year, you can throw out what happened in the past really out the window, because it is March Madness. It's a different atmosphere. It is the Final Four. But can you take anything from that game, DeShawn?
Of course you can. And I think that it's probably in Oklahoma's best interest to do that, but still make sure that that game doesn't necessarily hold way too much weight going into the game coming up this weekend. So from that standpoint, I mean, when you're looking at it on the glass, I don't typically see anybody from Oklahoma that's just going to out-rebound Villanova again the way that they did. I think that Villanova learned their lesson from that. Kind of hints to goes to show exactly why they went on to become the number one team in the country after North Carolina and Michigan State and Kansas fell. You saw Villanova go ahead and pick up that number one spot and probably hold it the longest after we've seen so many other teams kind of flip-flop around in that number one spot all year. Villanova held that longest, and I think that they learned their lesson from that Oklahoma game. I don't think that they'll necessarily get out-rebounded the same way, but I don't. You know, my biggest thing is that you won't catch anybody by surprise the second time around. The first time, I think that, you know, it's in some situations, it's kind of situational where you have guys that may not were pumped up or may not have been ready, and there's no excuse for that, especially if you ask a guy like Jay Wright, who's an outstanding coach. But I don't think you'll see that exact same thing. Villanova will go ahead, they'll make their adjustments, they'll get ready for this game, and they'll make sure that they have a little bit better handle on Buddy Hield. If they can do that, you know, they'll be able to come away with some good things. So I think it does hold some weight, but the biggest thing is that if you're Oklahoma, you don't want it to hold too much.
Certainly looking forward to that game as well. All right, DeShawn, I'm going to put you on the spot right now. Who meets in the national championship on Monday?
I'm going with Villanova in North Carolina. I'm taking Villanova because Villanova's three-point shooting has been phenomenal all the way up until this point. If you're looking at their percentages and how efficient they are from three, and that they have been not only from three but just from the field in general, they've been able to light it up and kind of you know, showed exactly how they were able to take out Kansas. That's what they do. That's Villanova. That's how they take care of business. And I'm thinking North Carolina. I think that there'll be too much for Syracuse. It'll, you know, be a close game in the beginning, but I think that it'll definitely get out of hand later on into the game where you'll see transition. And then, of course, I'm going to take North Carolina to cut down the nets in Houston. Something that I keep this in mind, Al. That's something that North Carolina definitely has to do. Them and Villanova hasn't been to the Final Four since 2009, so Carolina has that target on their back, but they're also considered to hold a whole lot of weight because guess what? It's championship or bust for them. They cannot afford to leave what I like to call a space on a bingo card. You cannot afford to leave this national championship if you're North Carolina on the table. The same way that we saw with Coach Calipari in 2000 with Memphis, where I think maybe or maybe not that wasn't an easy one, but you're talking about 2011 against Connecticut, 2014, last year where they started out 38-0. So from that standpoint, I think that North Carolina has to learn from Kentucky's lessons last year, take care of business, they'll cut down the nets and have them hanging in the hat.
Blank space on a bingo card. I like that, Deshaun. I'm going to steal that, all right? I'll put the check in the mail, all right?
Yeah, no problem. Make sure you put that check in there and sign off on it.
Will do. Folks, again, if you're just now joining us here on WKRS Current Sports, we are chatting with Deshaun Tate, men's college basketball columnist, reporter, and producer for CBS Radio 92.9, The Game in Atlanta, Georgia. All right, I want to get to the fun stuff now, Deshaun. Again, I saw on social media you are down in Houston. First off, my friend, how is Houston? Is this your first time down there?
It's awesome. I'm actually, no, it's not my first time. It is my first time for the Final Four. I wasn't here for the one in 2011, which I'm actually kind of happy that I wasn't because that's where we saw VCU and Butler, I think Kentucky and Connecticut. So this one has a little bit more flair to it, but it's nice, man. A little cloudy, but it's definitely the nice warm weather. Don't be too jealous about that, of course. But outside of that, Al, it's awesome here. It's nice. I'm in the car right now outside of the crazy traffic. Man, it's awesome, man. There are absolutely no complaints. The environment is absolutely nice, man.
And speaking on that environment, I mean, how packed is it there for the Final Four? I mean, how many college basketball fans have you run into? Is it pretty congested down there?
It seems pretty congested for right now. You know, last night I had an opportunity to go to the slam dunk and three-point contest, and I'll tell you what, I'm sure Michigan State fans up there where you're at right now will absolutely love this. There was a whole section out there last night for that slam dunk and three-point contest. Denzel Valentine was there and was in the three-point contest along with Bryn Forbes. Michigan State absolutely showed up and showed out, man. It was go green, go white, in between commercials and different things, man.
Really?
Oh, man. I put it on everything, man. It was awesome. But I tell you what, outside of all that, it has been quite a bit of college basketball. You've seen some fans from time to time. Not as many flags on top of the vehicles as I thought I might see, but we're just now kind of getting into the city right now. So from that standpoint, I like to think that I'll see a whole lot more, not only today, but going on throughout the rest of the duration of the weekend.
And this is one of the things that really piques my curiosity, Deshaun. Whenever I'm on the road reporting in a different city, I gotta know, how is the food out there? I've heard good things.
The food has been good. You know, one thing I said I have to make sure I do when I come out here to Houston, when I come to Texas, I gotta go to my authentic Mexican restaurants, man. So that was good. That was outstanding last night. We're gonna have an opportunity to do some more stuff here today, man. Get some good food in our systems and get ready for some really good basketball.
Looking forward to it, Deshaun. And because I didn't get a chance to check out, I saw some of the highlights of the 3-point contest and the slam dunk competition. If I'm not mistaken, Rachel Banham of Minnesota, women's college basketball player, she took home the crown, didn't she, for the 3-point competition?
She did. She actually beat out a Georgia Tech product and Adam Smith, who's an awesome 3-point shooter. And I know everybody loves the 3-point shooting competitions, but you know what? The slam dunk contest probably was the highlight of the day. Believe it or not, I had the opportunity to see a guy try to jump over a human pancake.
I saw the highlight. Yeah. It was pretty embarrassing, He messed up a few times, didn't he?
He did, yeah. It was unbelievable. When I seen him roll the pancake out there, I said, there's absolutely no way he's going to be able to jump over him. And not only did he try one, attempt, but he failed the second time too. After that, you draw the charge, and you got to get the guy moving on to the next round because he just wasn't cutting it.
Right, I saw that. And SVP Scott Van Pelt last night on SportsCenter had a great time with that highlight, without a doubt. And how did Bryn Forbes and also Denzel Valentine looking? Props to Denzel, again named just another National Player of the Year award honor in his trophy case, being named for the first time in Michigan State basketball history as the Associated Press National Player of the Year. How did Bryn and Denzel look last night?
Well, Bryn didn't really look as good as I thought he probably would have. Of course, I kind of hated to see Bryn Forbes and Denzel Valentine facing off against each other in the very first round of the three-point competition. But it was also something different, something to say, hey, who's the better shooter between the two? Obviously, Denzel won that round, went on to the next round, and eventually lost. But you know what? I really believe that Michigan State, even though they lost in the first round and things like that, some we're not necessarily used to, I tell you what, sometimes I kind of feel like those Michigan State fans, hopefully I don't get cut out on this too much, Al, but sometimes I feel like they're kind of spoiled from time to time. I mean, granted, we haven't seen, you know, too many guys go on and do what we saw Denzel Valentine do on yesterday. We saw him receive the AP Player of the Year award, but you know, granted, that's something that's really big. As many players and different athletes that there are on these different teams, there's only one that can hold up that AP Player of the Year. That's something that Michigan State fans need to be definitely very, very proud of, because I've heard some very disrespectful things in regards to Tom Izzo and the Michigan State basketball team after that first round loss. So I definitely hope those Spartans are appreciating the things that Denzel Valentine and company, who you know, definitely wanted to go ahead and bring another championship to East Lansing, something we haven't saw from a guy from Michigan since the great Irvin Magic Johnson.
That's so true. Before I get you out of here, Deshaun, I want to go back to what you just said. As far as that criticism and those ugly things you've heard directed toward Tom Izzo and his program, what are some of the ugliest things you've heard about what has occurred this year, losing in the first round of Middle Tennessee State?
Just that it was very disappointing, and I don't think it's no reason to hang your hat. I mean, like I said, I think that a lot of Spartan fans, and even people who aren't Spartan fans, who picked Michigan State, me being one of them, to win the national championship here in Houston and cut down the nets, you know, it was a very unfortunate situation. But we've seen that happen with so many other teams who was a number two seed at one point in time. I think it happened to Duke once or twice, you know, the Lehigh game, and it happened in Missouri a few years back against Norfolk State. And I sit back as a guy who loves Michigan State and a product of Michigan State University, and I sit back and I say, you know what, it happens to so many other people's teams, and this year it almost seems like it's unbelievable when it happens to your team, and it just happens to be that this was the year that happened to Michigan State. And I also like to think that it almost didn't matter who it was going to be playing against Middle Tennessee State that night. Middle Tennessee State was going to win that game. They were hitting shots, and shots were just falling. When it's your night, it's your night. When it's not, it's not. And it wasn't Michigan State night. It was very unfortunate, but you move forward, and what a better way to move forward for Michigan State than to send Denzel Valentine out with an AP National Player of the Year award and bring in a top three recruiting class for sure.
That is so true. I certainly echo those sentiments. Deshaun Tate, columnist, reporter, and producer for CBS Radio 92.9, The Game, down in the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. Again, Deshaun is down in Houston right now covering the Final Four. Deshaun, enjoy Houston, my friend, and we'll be chatting with you next week, all right?
Thanks, Al. Will do.
All right, folks, let's get our second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports by hitting with, of course, Reflection Friday. And, of course, we will break down what the playoff picture currently looks like for the Detroit Pistons. That and more. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Looky, looky there. Just 5 minutes left in the show. Time flies when you are having fun. Isaac, comments on Denzel Valentine. Because, you know, this news broke after we got off the air yesterday's show. Denzel Valentine being named as the Associated Press National Player of the Year, the first Michigan State men's basketball player to do so. And I think you and I just ran into Denzel not too long ago here in the Comm Arts building.
Yes, we did. Yeah, just in the hallway walking by. But right. I was shocked, to be honest, because Denzel, you and I mentioned that in the tournament, unlike in the NBA, you are allowed to consider as a voter the performance in the tournament, the run that your team makes in order to decide who should be that player of the year.
Right.
And that's not really what happened in this scenario, because Buddy Hield's performance in the tournament has been unmatched by anybody, let alone Denzel Valentine, who, of course, we all know what happened to MSU. So
what Buddy Hield is doing, Isaac, is one of the greatest performances, single-person performances we've ever seen in March. When you look at the numbers, I looked at the numbers last night on SportsCenter. It's unlike anything we've ever seen before. So, yeah. But again, the question for me is, when you look at the deadlines for when that voting happens, some of those deadlines are a lot different. A lot of them happen actually before the tournament even gets underway. It just takes some time for it to be released to the public.
Well, and that's true. But when I looked up the Wooden and Naismith Awards, right, the two most prestigious, both of those happen, I think, three rounds into tournaments is the last date that you can submit your vote for Player of the Year. And both of those, I mean, you consider the tournament when you're picking those Player of the Year. So you expect Denzel Valentine to lose out to Buddy Hield, if you ask me.
Yeah,
both the two prestigious ones.
I agree, because, yeah, the deadline is certainly extended through the tournament as well. All right,
exactly.
Well, 3 minutes left, Isaac. You know how we close out each and every Friday here on WKAR's Current Sports. We love to reflect a bit on the week that was here on the show and beyond. We dub it Reflection Friday. All right, Isaac, I got to say, first off, the biggest story, I can't believe I'm saying this, it felt like TMZ here on Current Sports this week, okay? Because all we did, it seemed like, was field questions and comments concerning Nick Young and D'Angelo Russell. That whole situation occurring, you know, with the Los Angeles Lakers, a video being recorded with Nick Young discussing relations with other women. It's being reported that Iggy, I think, is now called the relationship kaput. I think. So it's really nasty. But that's all we talked about. So that was the biggest story throughout the week, right? I feel like, it felt like TMZ here, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Sheesh.
It's
basically
love and hip-hop, what you and I talk about after the show every single time anyway. But
stop, you
no.
didn't go there. Okay.
Oh, yeah. All right. Reflection, though, is actually coming from the U.S. women's soccer team.
Yes.
Hope Solo, Carly Lloyd, Becky Sauerbaugh, Alex Morgan, and Megan Rapinoe all demanded equal pay, or actually higher pay, than their male counterparts. They've been significantly underpaid ever since starting. So, for example, the men get, I think, $5,000 for every loss. Mm. The women get none in a friendly game.
Right.
Which is ridiculous, considering that's the women that have won the World Cup and the women that generate the majority of sales and fan support for the U.S. soccer game.
And you know what? I'm looking forward to next week, because we will have a special segment diving into the world of tennis and the whole situation concerning the comments of a certain individual when comparing women's tennis to men's tennis. It got really sticky. I know Serena came out and said a few things. We'll dive into that next week. So I'm glad you brought that up. Also, the plot thickens when it comes to the Detroit Pistons making the playoffs. I'll be at the
sure
game tonight.
Does.
You know, I really get to do this as a reporter, but I'll be there as a fan at the Palace to check out the Pistons and Mavs. Looking forward to that.
We
all
got
right.
in the championship.
As far as what? College basketball. I'm kind of on the same notion as Deshaun there. I'm going with Villanova and North Carolina. Who you got real quick?
I got UNC Oklahoma.
All right. And we will certainly dive into that on Monday as well. Thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Much thanks to Deshaun Tate of CBS Radio down south in Atlanta for joining me on today's airwaves, and each and every guest that we've had throughout this entire week. As always, take care, have one fantastic weekend, be safe, and be easy, people.